Josh Massoud with Seventh Tackle, 7 News. Josh, obviously, we love having you in here. You're on the road chasing stories this morning, buddy.
Yeah, I miss you, boys. Yeah, whenever you get an email and the title has a superstar's name in it, such as Greg Inglis, and with the word statement following it, as a reporter, you feel like you're sort of falling off a cliff and you don't know where the bottom is. And, you know it's going to be bad news. And it was last night. You know, your heart goes out to him. And, you know, your next few days are going to be pretty full on.
Yeah.
What do you know about it, Josh? Is he in Sydney?
Yeah, he is in Sydney. He, look, I mean, I think the first thing that probably springs to mind is Kieran Foran, Ben Barber, some of the more sinister cases we've had with gambling and alcohol and drug addictions. From what I can tell from talking to people close to Greg Inglis, it's not of that nature. It's of a nature where he's probably a bit flat, a bit depressed, dealing with a season-ending injury for the first time in his career. Plus the fact that his young family has gone back to Brisbane for some support. Now, that's not unusual. Don't read anything into that. That's just something they do every year. But with Greg back here in Sydney alone, you know, dealing with the demons that come with that type of rehab, I think it's just all become a bit too much for him.
Origin selection, mate. Is there a bolter?
Not that I can tell, no, for New South Wales. The Latrell Mitchell thing came up this week, and that sort of surprised me. He doesn't tick any of Laurie Daly's indicia. Normally, he wants them to have played in big games, and he also wants them to have performed consistently for a few years. Well, a bloke that's just been dropped to reserve grade hardly ticks that box, so I don't think he'll be there. I think you'll find that Brett Morris will be called back into the side in place of Tom Trbojevic, who would have been on that right wing for Josh Mansour. And the rest of it should really go to plan. I suppose if you can call him a bolter, it might be Peter Wallace. That's really neck and neck, him and Robbie Farah. I think at the moment they are leaning towards Wallace because they want a dummy half that passes off the ground more. And if they're going to go with Mitchell Pearce again, well, they have to hand him the keys to that team. It has to be his team.
Yep. And I think they'll be doing that. And Latrell Mitchell, by the way, he's going to play 20 origins, maybe 20-plus origins. How's his headspace, Latrell? Because quite clearly, it wasn't through form that Trent Robinson actually dropped Latrell Mitchell back to reserve grade. He's only a kid. He's a superstar, Josh. Where's he at?
Yeah, his headspace is pretty good. We had a chat to him on Monday at Roosters Leagues Club. Everyone says he's been pretty good through it. Look, it was just a bad little patch he had. The Manly Roosters game, their first loss of the season. I'm told he copped a bit of a bake at halftime, didn't deal with that very well. Yeah. Actually went the other direction. If you remember, Brian Kelly and Dylan Walker combined for that final match-winning try, and Latrell Mitchell was absolutely nowhere to be seen. Mm. That didn't do him any favours. I think he was given some home truths after that. And that then led to the disaster in Brisbane. He didn't respond at all and was hooked. And he didn't like being hooked in front of 40,000 people with 8 minutes to go. Some people might say, well, what's the good in that for a 19-year-old? But obviously Trent Robinson felt it was the right thing to do. Things came to a head after that. He was sent home. He was rejuvenated. And his attitude for Wyong was really, really good. So it had to do with some attitude things and also, boy, some things off the field. His diet and his fitness weren't professional enough, weren't good enough, and he's improved those items.
He's a superstar.
Josh, it might be off Seventh Tackle, but I want to ask you about Manly and another CEO goes. Do you know anything more about that, mate? It wasn't that long ago. He had full support of the board, and now another one gets churned out. I mean, I don't know who's going to take it on the next round.
We actually do have an item on this today. It's quite interesting because it's flowed over into the roster a little bit. Look, it's obvious that Bob Fulton and Tim Cleary had a massive falling out. Tim Cleary's charter was to move Bob Fulton on and the Fulton family. Scott Penn, the owner, who's also tipping in all the money. Trust me, he has had to tip in a lot of money of late because things aren't going great there financially. He wanted to overhaul some things. And obviously, Bob Fulton has won that war. He wins most of them. And I just probably assume that Bob Fulton has a little bit more in his back pocket than Tim Cleary had. And Tim Cleary had no choice but to move on. He's obviously probably received some sort of payout. And that's just another one that Manly have had to pay out. So the situation is quite ludicrous, from wanting to save money to having to spend even more money on yet another employer who's no longer with the organisation. It's just ridiculous, and it belies a lack of leadership, boys. 1 minute they brought the guy in to do a job, and the next minute they've turned around and shown no support for him whatsoever. It's a bit of a joke, to be honest.
Yeah, some would say, I mean, obviously Scott's too busy trying to run another company so he can help pay for all the bills at Manly to take that job, but Bob maybe
well,
should just...
he's taken it on now.
Yeah,
he's
and
the,
Bob...
He's the executive chairman now.
Or does Bob do the job?
Oh, as CEO, I couldn't see how that could possibly happen. And, you know, at his vintage, his age, you know, his expertise is in football and what he's doing now in recruitment, the CEO job. Tim Cleary's baby was their high performance centre, going to councils, and that's what he'd learned to do through his schoolwork. So, and also an upgrade to Brookvale Oval. Those things aren't in Bob Thornton's expertise.
No, quite clearly, mate. Well, we talk about players moving all the time, and of course, the number one tackle on seventh tackle, Sharks on standby for Walker.
Yeah, well, isn't this amazing? We've got two situations mirroring each other at the Sharks and the Rabbitohs, where their best performers are clearly underpaid. When you look at the current marketing, Cody Walker and James Maloney, they've both gone in mid contract and asked for immediate upgrades, or else they're going to go elsewhere. And it's the Sharks are standing firm on Maloney. I find it quite incredible that they won't bump him up to the 800 he wants. I reckon if Maloney was on the open market as of last November, he'd easily be commanding $1 million. I reckon 800's a bargain for James Maloney. But Cronulla have other ideas. They think he should stick to the contract, and it could get quite ugly. So now they have made a little bit of contact with Cody Walker's management. They're looking at him as a possible replacement. Cody Walker, he's on. Guys, pauper money at South Sydney, below 200 for a guy that's been their best player. He's quite entitled to ask for a bump up there. So Cronulla can see an opportunity.
Good on you, Josh. Thanks for waiting, mate. I want to ask about Queensland and how it's all shaping up. Billy Slater, obviously, is he going to be the number one? Darius Boyd would have to shift, obviously.
It's a really tough one, this one, guys. Queensland have this loyalty policy, but it's been torn in two here. So on one hand, you've got Darius Boyd. If you're going to show loyalty, well, then you're going to play him at fullback for the job he did with the team last year. That would be a contravention of the policy to put him back to the wing. But then do you make an exemption for a true champion of the Maroons jersey like Billy Slater? That's loyalty too. So they're in a real tough jam. I think at the end of the day, Billy Slater is one of them, and they'll have no choice but to bring him back into the Queensland team, put Darius Boyd on the wing. And the big one then, guys, is that Valentine Holmes, after representing Australia, an incumbent kangaroo, misses out on the team.
Just bides his time, but yeah, the loyalty thing's overstated for Queensland. In the very, very beginning, in the dark days, Josh, they had to be loyal because they didn't have the players to turn over. And now they've got the champion team. They don't have to make any changes at all. They lose the odd game every now and then.
But the one thing I'll point out is this. New South Wales, there's not been much being said about Josh Jackson at the moment. Now, if New South Wales were to drop Josh Jackson, that would be extraordinary given he won the player of the series. I'll throw another guy out, a guy that I spoke to yesterday and has basically conceded he won't be in the team. Michael Jennings, the most capped blue at the moment, 18 games. And who scored the winning try in Game 3 last year? A try that very few players in the NRL could have scored. And he's going to go out on his ass because Jarryd Hayne is back in the game. Mm. Is that loyalty?
Mm. It's an interesting one.
No, but he hasn't set the world on fire this year, Michael Jennings.
But neither has Nate Miles, neither has Aiden Guerra, and they'll be picked for Queensland. Jennings is a proven performer at origin level, unlike, and look, I'll say it, Mitchell Pearce. Mm. Mitchell Pearce hasn't proven himself at origin level, but he's...
Well, how many series has Michael Jennings won?
One. He's won one. How many series has the rest of the team won?
Yeah.
One.
Well, but everyone's saying, well, Mitchell Pearce isn't a proven origin performer, but anyone within that New South Wales squad, you could say that.
I would say the try Jennings scored last year and some of the other performances he's put in at origin have been, he's at least got a handful of good origin performances under his belt, unlike some of the other players in the big pick.
And mate, you've got another one of the tackles in the seventh tackle segment is about players wanting a creche, but these things sort of came to a bit of a crescendo yesterday, didn't they? Because the CEOs and the chair people from the NRL clubs actually won't be getting their $13 million by the look of it. They're going to be getting a lot less, like $11.5 million.
Yeah, it's getting ugly, this. So what's happened basically is that all the chairman and CEOs met yesterday to be updated on these CBA talks, the NRL is operating off a cap of about $8.7 million for next year. The RLPA wants it to start at $9.1 million and go up to $9.9 million come 2022. And, of course, you've got to then top 30% on top of that for the club grant. So basically, the higher the cap, the more money the NRL has to give the clubs. And the NRL is basically saying, well, we don't have that money. And the really dumb strategic manoeuvre from John Grant and Todd Greenberg has been aligning the clubs and the players, because the players get more money, the clubs get more money.
Yeah.
And what happened last week, boys, that really got the NRL angry was that the RLPA met with a few club chairmen to talk about their plan and almost form an unholy alliance. The NRL was absolutely filthy about that. I've seen an email to some of the clubs from someone very senior in the NRL. So these negotiations are really turning quite bitter and could once again call John Grant's leadership into question.
Good on you, Josh. We'll be watching Seven News tonight for more on the Seventh Tackle, and we'll go to Yahoo as well. Good on you, Josh.
Always a pleasure.
Well done, Josh. We thank you, mate.
Thanks, mate.